door and shouted, OK, Gladys. There was some shouting in the darkness of the yard, and then the creak of timber.
What the hell did you do? Said the spherical man.
My price is this, said Moist. You agree to carry my mail, and you won't have another wheel dragged off that mail coach out there. I can't say fairer than that, OK?
The man lumbered forward, growling, but the other coachman grabbed his coat.
Steady there, Jim, he said. He's government, and he's got golems working for him.
On cue, Mr. Pump stepped into the room, bending to get through the doorway. Jim scowled at him.
That don't frighten me, said Jim. They ain't allowed to hurt folks.
Wrong, said Moist. Probably dead wrong.
Then we'll call the watch on yer, said Harry Upright, still holding back his brother. All proper and official, how do you like that?
Good. Call the watch, said Moist,
and I shall tell them I'm recovering stolen property. He raised his voice.
Gladys?
There was another crash from outside.
Stolen? Those coaches are ours, said Harry Upright.
Wrong again, I'm afraid, said Moist. Mr. Pump?
The mail coaches were never sold off, the golem rumbled. They are the property of the post office. No rent has been paid for the use of post office property.
Right, that's it,
Jim roared, shaking his brother away. Mr. Pump's fists rose instantly. The world paused.
Hold on, Jim, hold on just one minute, said Harry Upright carefully. What's your game, Mr. Postman? The coaches always used to carry passengers too, right? And then there was no mail to take, but people still wanted to travel. And the coaches were just standing around and the horses were needing to be fed. So our dad paid for the fodder and the vet's bills and no one...
Just take my mail, said Moist. That's all. Every coach takes the mailbags and drops them off where I say. That's all.
Tell me where you'll get a better deal tonight, eh?
You could try your luck pleading finders keepers to veterinari, but that'd take a while to sort out, and in the meantime you'd lose all that lovely revenue.
No? Okay, glad it... No, wait a minute, said Harry. Just the mailbags, that's all.
What? Said Jim. You want to negotiate? Why? They say possession's 9 points to law, right?
And I possess a lot of golems, Mr. Upright, said Moist, and you don't possess any deeds, mortgages, or bills of sale.
Yeah, and you won't possess any teeth, mister, said Jim, rolling forward.
Now, said Moist, stepping quickly in front of Mr. Pump and raising a hand. Don't kill me again, Mr. Upright.
Both the brothers looked puzzled.
I'll swear Jim never laid a finger on you, and that's the truth, said Harry. What's your game?
Oh, he did, Harry, said Moist.
Lost his temper, took a swing. I went over, hit my head on that old bench there, got up, not knowing where the hell I was. You tried to hold Jim back. He hit me with that chair, the one just there, and then down I went for keeps. The golems got you, Harry, but Jim went on the run, only to be tracked down by the watch in Stolat. Oh, what scenes! What chases, and you both ended up in the tanty, the charge against the pair of you being murder.
Here, I didn't hit you with the chair, said Harry, eyes wide. It was Jim... Here, hang on a minute.
And this morning, Mr. Trooper measured you up for the last necktie, and there you were, standing in that room under the gallows, knowing that you'd lost your business, you'd lost your coaches, you'd lost your fine horses, and in 2 minutes...
Moist let the sentence hang in the air.
And? Said Harry.
Both brothers were watching him with expressions of horrified confusion which would coalesce into violence inside 5 seconds if this didn't work. Keeping them off balance, that was the ticket. Moist counted to 4 in his head while smiling beatifically. And then an angel appeared, he said. 10 minutes can change a lot. It was enough to brew 2 cups of tea thick enough to spread on bread. The brothers Upright probably didn't believe in angels, but they believed in bullshit and were the type to admire it when it was delivered with panache. There's a kind of big outdoor sort of man who's got no patience at all with prevaricators and fibbers, but will applaud any man who can tell an outrageous whopper with a gleam in his eye.
Funny you should turn up tonight, said Harry.
Oh, why?
Because a man from the Grand Trunk came round this afternoon and offered us big money for the business. Too much money, you could say.
Oh, thought Moist, something starting.
But you, Mr. Lipvig, is giving us nothing but attitude and threats, said Jim. Care to raise your offer?
Okay. Bigger threats, said Moist. But I'll throw in a new paint job on every coach, gratis.
Be sensible, gentlemen. You've had an easy ride, but now we're back in business. All you have to do is what you've always done, but you'll carry my mail.
Come on, there's a lady waiting for me, and you know you shouldn't keep a lady waiting. What do you say?
Is she an angel? Said Harry.
He probably hopes not.
Jim had a laugh like a bull clearing its throat. said Moist solemnly. "Just carry the bags, gents. The post office is